Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. It's Carl and Linda Bott starting off another week, the 3rd of August, birthday week. And speaking of birthdays, is it your birthday this week?
No.
Oh, no. It's mine.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend.
Oh, good. That's super. I'm glad to hear that. We had a kind of an exciting Friday, and speaking of exciting, here's my soulmate, Linda.
Hey, good morning, and you know what Wednesday is. Wednesday is the birthday week. Wednesday is CB's birthday. That's Carl Bott. Okay, I want to share with you guys that we were, I'm not saying this because the sheriff's here or anything. We were hit and run.
Hit and runned.
Hit and ranned. Run into.
Friday.
There was a hit and run on our car Friday. We were coming back from the Olive Pit. The Olive Pit, they were so generous in donating some fabulous olives that we're going to have for our Martinis with Santa concert. And we were driving down
Shasta.
Thank you, Shasta and Court. And going right through the intersection. Light was green, of course. And I think it was a champagne SUV. Didn't get the driver's license number, of course. Otherwise, we would have reported that. We don't know if it was a man or a woman. I just know it was a champagne SUV, smaller size, newer car. And they went from the left lane, not the turn left lane, but there's two lanes, the left lane, and decided to change lanes and go, actually not change lanes, but go all the way right. So what they did is they side swiped us and fled the scene.
Yep, came over, bumped. And ran. We came back. And so if you know of anybody that's got kind of a light brown or tan or champagne color, whatever you want to call that, SUV that's got black paint on the right-hand side, why don't you give us a call here at 221-1402 or call the office at 241-2682. Now, today, you know, it's going to be the beginning of Small Business Week, but Sheriff Pasinko is here with us, too. We're going to talk about something that's happened that could have a severe impact on 3,000 to 4,000 people in our county. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Monday. This is Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Back up. Wanted to talk one more time about what happened with the sideswipe. Hey, all is well. Even though we don't know who did it. Thank you to C. Knuckles.
That's right. The community service officer, one of the ones they're getting ready to cut because we have no money left in the city because we weren't smart enough to realize that tax revenues were not going to continue to rise over the rest of our lives. We didn't save any money.
She drove up. She was blonde. She was cute. And her name was C. Knuckles.
C. Knuckles.
Initial C. Knuckles. Thank you so much for being so helpful. Now, speaking of helpful, don't you like our segue? Speaking of, our sheriff is in the house. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tom Pasinko. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Okay.
We're
great.
Carl, and you're going to be a birthday boy this week.
I'll be 40.
Oh, I figured 39.
39, I'm holding. I'm holding real good.
He is. I have to admit. Okay. Anyway, gosh, there's something that's very topical now that's just breaking.
Yes. We had some disturbing news where a former employee now was allegedly embezzling funds, and they were cash receipts of primarily concealed weapons permits that were renewed and cash transactions. And the investigation is ongoing. Reading Police is doing the criminal investigation. And we, of course, are doing an internal affairs investigation. And we have to go through literally thousands of paper files, electronic files, and state files. And we set up a hotline for anybody that has a concealed weapon carry permit at 245-6174. And they can leave their name and information as it appears on the permit. Or they can also send an email to www.co.shasta.ca.us. Look up the sheriff's office, and then just leave an email, attention Jerry, and then we'll go through some of those files. So it's really good, either by voice or email, if they have a concern about the validity of their permit.
Now, the ramifications of this is that if you get pulled over at some point, and not just talking Shasta County, which has some reasonable people in it, is if you go down, though, to Rabid, San Francisco, and for some reason you're pulled over, and you say, well, you know, I've got a, you know, I'm carrying a weapon, I've got a concealed carry permit, and then they check it, and, I mean, one thing is to look at the paper, but they run it through the computer, you may not have, you know, you may be illegally carrying at that point.
Basically correct. The paper, the permit, will appear valid,
right.
But if there's a check with sheriff's office records or state records, it will appear expired. That's a concern. Of course, hopefully the officers will contact our records unit. We're open 24/7, and then we can do some checks and seeing if one of these people are a victim. It doesn't impact all 2,400 or so permittees. Right now, we've identified about 100 permits that are in question.
So if you wrote a check,
should be okay.
Okay, so it's just, well, okay, we should all check. Now, for, let's say the guy that's driving or the person driving down the street right now is thinking, oh my, I'm carrying, I better check. What do you think the turnaround time is? Really, for someone to get a response that, hey, you're okay?
Pretty much ASAP. We set up the hotline number on Friday. My staff called in over the weekend. We're retrieving voicemail messages. Probably over 100 voicemail messages were left. And so we're trying to get back through there. A friend of mine called me. He's a permittee. I was able to confirm that he's one of the victims as well.
Wow.
So it does have some far-reaching ramifications. The investigation is going. I'm very determined to make this right and take care of it. Once the criminal report's done, we're going to be seeking criminal prosecution against the individual and restitution for those public funds. And this is a huge breach of trust that on this one individual for the public and the sheriff's office, and it's very upsetting.
It is, because I don't know who it is, but I think I know who it is. And it was, you know, that would be upsetting, because that was really enjoyed doing business.
Well, everybody in your office has, when you come in, are just, you know, big smiles and very kind. I've never...
Maybe we know now why.
Well, but anyway, so it's just whenever you read or you hear anybody that has done any kind of, you know, a business or a company that's had this kind of situation, it's just heart-wrenching. Because it trickles down on so many levels. And again, like you said, there's been this trust that's just been breached. And so we thank you so much for coming and explaining to our listeners the ramifications, what can happen. And everybody should really check on their permits.
Well, okay, that number is
245-6174.
Okay.
Or they can do it via email.
Right. Go to the Shasta County website and go
and
to the sheriff's.
Regardless, if the permittee has a permit that says it's valid on the date, excuse me, or they have a receipt, call in and be sure.
Okay. And, you know, what we're going to do is, you know, because if it's hitting the sheriff's office, and every time it seems like at least once a month, if not more, we're seeing stories of embezzlement in businesses. So we're going to work with the embezzlement division over there at the city police and have that gentleman on who teaches classes about embezzlement here and how to prevent it and how to spot it.
And we placed some corrective measures in place already to prevent future occurrences of this. And I've asked for a full audit by the county auditor's office to come in and identify any concerns so we can make this right. As I said, it's a huge concern to me. And we want to get it done.
Well, it does, because, you know, one, it shakes a little bit of faith in the, in the system. But I think you're taking the actions here to make sure anybody that has been affected by this is going to be helped.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Sheriff.
You bet. Take care.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindenbaum on Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk, 1400 KQMS, Carl Lindenbaum. Okay. Let's talk small business here. You know, today, just I guess it was appropriate that today in the headlines and watching it is that 15,000 jobs were lost in California last year, which is, you know, it's like an average of 15,000 a year over the last 8 years. And what's the main reason for it? Tax and emissions controls. They are crushing California manufacturing jobs. One example was this one business. Some people, not a lot of people, some people complained about they didn't like the smell. Even though it wasn't dangerous, it was just the smell. And so our emissions control people came in to this company, and it was down in around L.A., and said, you need to fix this, and it's going to cost you $5 million. And the company said, no, it's not, and they moved. 300 jobs gone. So, you know, what is a small business? You know, a small business, I don't know if you realize this. I didn't until we started researching all this, but 99.7% of business is small businesses. They have they account for 52% of all retail sales, 46% of all wholesale sales, 25% of manufacturing sales. They represent more than 99.7% of all employers. They employ half of all private sector workers and 39% of workers in high-tech jobs. They provide 60 to 80% of the net new jobs annually. They pay 44% of the total U.S. private payroll. Now, these are huge, huge numbers, my friends. And so one of the problems we're having in Redding and in Shasta County and, of course, California, I mean, California is in such dire straits because they don't, you know, the tax base is gone. They acted like they were going to continue to have money that they could spend like, I'm not even going to say drunken sailors. It gives sailors a bad name, like drunken politicians that they are. Let's just keep spending and spending and spending and spending, believing that the tax revenue was going to continue going up. Anybody with any common sense, which, of course, then, the you know, kind of opts out most of our politicians at all levels, don't realize is that tax revenues will not continue to grow. At some point, they're going to have to go back. So, but it's the, again, going back to the small businesses, which this country and this county and this city
desperately need.
Well, they rely on them so much. And again, they're going to be doing, you know, they're employing over half the country's workforce. And, you know, this includes 52% of home-based businesses, 2% of franchises. They represent 97.3% of all exporters of goods. These are small businesses. This is not huge. Now, what's the survival rates for small businesses? Now these are the latest figures we had in 2007, so I can imagine these things have probably taken a dive since then. But in 2007, there were 637,000 new businesses, 560,000 business closures, and 28,000 bankruptcies. I got this out of the score. People would get it out of the census. So, I mean, this isn't stuff I'm just making up like the administration and their health things. Two-thirds of the new employees' firms survive at least 2 years. So you've got a two-year chance. Two-thirds are going to make it for 2 years.
So what's the five-year magic number? You make 5 years.
44% survive at least 4 years.
Okay.
And 33% survive at least 7 years. So you've got a third of the businesses that start will last for 7 years.
Oh, so that's why what we hear from some businesses, we've made the five-year mark, which means we're doing good.
That's right. You know, and you've got, you know, in as far as, you know, women in business have got, you know, they've started coming in. You know, and here's a good fact, is that women will ask for help in business, you know, and, you know, I mean, and for information much more than men will. Because men know everything. Like, that's why we never get lost when we're driving and all the other business.
Okay, here's what's great. I love this. A stat. Women represent more than a third of all people involved in entrepreneurial activity. Love that. Between 1997 and 2002, women-owned firms grew by 19.8%, while all U.S. firms grew by 7%. And women-owned firms account for 6.5% of total employment in U.S. firms. So, you know, it's interesting because the two people that I've talked to recently who own businesses are women. But our special guest today, which we are going to come to right after ABC News, is James Fossen, who owns Backyard Destinations. We're excited to talk with him. You see Backyard Destinations everywhere. There's a reason behind it. And we're going to talk to James right after this break.
This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Now, we've got some people on the line that want to talk, on cars and, business and all that. We're going to get to you in just a minute. James.
Good morning.
You've got a well-known business. You are big in the community here. Every time I turn around and something is being done for veterans, there's
backyard. The arts.
The arts.
Very involved in the arts.
Backyard Destinations.
We enjoy all aspects of that, and most of that came about by a very wise retailer who told me as this economic downturn started that we could either wait it out or create it out and come up with ways to get out there that maybe we didn't think about before. There were a lot of great years when we didn't have to work very hard to do what we do, and we made the adjustment. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work, and met a ton of people. And
so how'd you get started in this?
Backyard Destinations, by the way, on Bocelli.
On Bocelli.
Right.
I had been working retail about 20 years ago for Montgomery Wards. I wonder how many people remember Montgomery Wards.
Yeah, Monkey Wards.
And I was a part-time limousine driver for a couple that wanted to go to San Francisco one day that owned a hot tub retail location in Northern California. And they had a wonderful time, and probably in the limousine 10 hours. And they kept on leaning through the glass going, James, you got to come to work. You got to come to work for us. We're going to make you a ton of money. And I, smiled and rolled my eyes a little bit at the drunk couple in the back of the limousine. But I met him about a week later, and that was 1989. And still doing it. And like many small business owners.
20 years.
Wow.
And
like a lot of small business owners, I got to the point where I thought, I can do this better than they can. And
that's what happens
that's
a lot
what
of
happens,
times.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They decide to open their own stores.
Yes.
So you were selling hot tubs for this couple for that many years.
And various manufacturers and different companies.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, you became their head person and you thought, I could do this myself.
We can do this.
And then you opened Backyard Destinations. How long ago?
We did that 2.5 years ago, and it was my brother Pierre and his wife Stacy and I. We all sat down as a family venture and kind of looked to see what was missing here in this town. That really came to us from being a consumer. We just walked around and experienced what we experienced and saw what we liked and looked for what we thought was missing, and that was the catalyst.
Well, so how hard was it to start a common sense store in this town?
It actually wasn't very hard at all. There was a lot of great people that we met, and that's the one thing with this town. It does feel a lot different than some of the bigger markets and the Seattles and the San Franciscos as far as that goes, because there was a lot of people that were enthusiastic.
Well, we've got a lot of people on the line. So let's go to the first one. He's been waiting for over 20 minutes. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
Fine. So what's up, Henry?
Well, I've been watching this car cash for clunkers thing that the government came out with. And I have to admit that it did spur the auto industry considerably.
It has.
But the fact remains that they're looking at the bottom line, and when the numbers come in, it's going to come in very high immediately. What they haven't realized is they're giving $4,500 to people that can't afford to buy a new car in the first place for a down payment. Now, that's what it amounts to.
Well, I don't know if that's true in every case.
They're going to take advantage of this.
Yes.
Now, I don't say
somewhere.
All of the people that are trading their cars, but usually people who are running junkers can't afford a car to start out with. So let's say 50%. If that be the case, 3 to 6 months down the line, these people aren't going to be able to make their payments, and then they're going to have a repossession problem.
Well, yeah, but I think it goes beyond that. It's besides the $4,500, you've still got to also be able to get the loan. This just gives you a $4,500 head start. I think, cause they're not just going to give a loan to somebody with no credit.
Well, do you realize, Carl, that with $4,500 down on most of those car deals up to $20,000, if they can fog a mirror with 25% down or 20% down,
okay,
they can get a loan.
All right. Hey, Henry, we've got to run. Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye.
This is our Small Business Week. We're so happy to have James Fossen on with Backyard Destinations. We're glad that you kicked off our week. Of course, we're always going to be taking your calls, 221-1402. And we'll have various people who own businesses, the pros, the cons, the ups and downs, people who have tried to start a business, lost their business. And James, it's been 2.5 years for you now. You have one of the high-end, beautiful backyard furniture. Now tell us about the spas that you have. And by the way, this is not an infomercial. This is just that we picked out people that we've met along the way that we think you've done so well. What are the spas that you say that you, through your years, they're like ones that you don't have to go back and replace?
And that was the big thing with everything we did. We wanted to get behind this, buy it once, buy it for life. That was a big thing for us. We also worked very, very hard to find as many American-based manufacturers, as many California-based manufacturers, and give a product that will last and people would feel comfortable owning for a long, long period of time.
So what are some of the problems with getting started or some of the issues with getting started?
Well,
especially in Redding and Shasta County. I guess California dumps in on that too.
Well, I think it was more to the timing, and it goes back to the caller talking about the credit and the financing and so on. Money is not like it was 3 and 4 years ago. It is extremely difficult to get a commercial or a consumer loan for a customer now. It's very, very difficult. They have to have golden credit before we can get them a hot tub. It really doesn't matter what the down payment.
And what is golden credit?
We're 720s, 750s. We're getting a lot of turndowns to a lot of decent people that maybe not the highest credit score, but have been playing the game the right way and who 3 years ago would have been approved very easily. So we've had to adjust how we market our product and ask for the money. And sometimes it's, go to your bank, go to your credit card, go find a different way to get us the money.
Well, let me ask this. I've been hearing all types of stories about trying to do business in Redding with the city, trying to get your fees and all this kind of stuff. What could Redding, what did you see as impediments to starting, either through fees that seemed, why am I having to pay this, or why does this cost so much? And what have they done to kind of like help you get started? Which is kind of what we're going with this whole week.
Sure.
What has Redding and Shasta County done to help, and what have they done to impede our businesses?
Well, that's a tough one for me because it was a pretty smooth ride for us getting it open. And, we did have the fire inspections and some of the building permits, but the building was pretty much done as we moved into it. I've had to pay an extra alarm call. That was kind of a pain, but we've really enjoyed it. And I know some of the contractors and the developers and builders and some of the business owners on that level, will have more to say and probably feel it more than we do. But it's been
Well, that's good. But that's good to know. Is that so? As far as you're concerned, is that you were treated, the fees seem right, that you've got the house and everything? Okay.
Yeah, it felt good.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to have to take a quick break, and we've got a lot of people on the line. We're going to get right back to you.
Neil and Bill, hold on.
Yeah, we'll get right back to you. This is Carlin DeBott on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carlin DeBott. Neil, thanks for waiting.
Hey, one thing I have not heard anything about regarding the Cash for Clunkers program.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a business here in town. I bought the property, but the city kind of got involved with that, so I haven't started it yet, so I'm not doing a commercial here. But in Oregon, my brother has a car dealership where I still invest and keep cars on his lot.
Uh-huh.
What happens when you show on national TV the very cars we sell getting crushed? We would sell and still do, hopefully, older cars for under wholesale to people who can't afford to go out and buy something, really nice.
Yeah.
What we pay for those has now been devalued to below what we paid for them, and you can't get rid of them because they're cars that need to be crushed. What happens to all the used car dealers that are affected by this?
Wow. You know what? Neil, that's a great question. You know, people want to get, oh, here's a chance to take a gas guzzler and an emissions problem off the road. But you're right. Somebody, we were just, you know, like Henry just said, is what happens to those people that can't afford that, you know, that, and so, but they can afford like $4,000 for a car, but they need a car.
Well, it's absolutely right. I mean, I even had a Ford Explorer, late 90s, so I could tow my boat. You know, I mean, I live in a pretty nice part of town, and I drive something like that, but it is now worthless. And you see the car dealerships closing down around here.
Yeah.
And this may be helping the new car dealers, but I'll tell you what, it's going to hurt thousands and thousands of people all over the United States that have put everything they have into their mom and pop's business. And it's just nobody has talked about that. I tried to, put a comment on Fox News. We'll see if they get that or not. But I sure appreciate you.
Well, hey, we'll always have a spot for people, to talk here on our show.
Well, I'd love to share a little bit about the eminent domain ruse, but we'll get that at another
time. Yeah, that's another time. We've got other people here.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, wait, hang on.
No, Neil, thanks. Call again, because I think, as people go in and out of their cars and in and out of the shower, it is in the morning. All this week, we're talking about what it is. We'd really love to hear from your brother, or hear from a car dealership that deals in cars that are $3,000, $4,000 for whatever price that is for the families who can't afford to go in a lot and take $4,500 for their cash for a clunker and put that kind of money down and buy a new car at a lower reduced price. But for those people who I think pretty much is the general population of what it is to be able just to afford something for transportation to take their families, it's really a travesty to hear this.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, and I'll try to hook my brother up with you.
Great.
Appreciate you guys.
You bet. Thank you so much, Neil. Bill, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Carl. How you doing?
We're doing fine, Bill.
Oh, good. I know my voice. I've called in a lot of times on this health care stuff, and I keep trying to figure out what's their next step and what is the government really trying to do.
Well, this thing with the health care for small businesses could be a killer for them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really could. I mean, James, you can weigh in on this because you have employees, but, you've got a plan. And then after a couple of years, if I read this right, if it doesn't meet the requirements of the government, they're going to take that plan away, and you've got to get into theirs, or you throw your people over to the government plan, and you have to pay a lot of money.
Well, that's the whole thing is a very difficult one for us, because in our heart of hearts, we want to be able to provide for our employees and give them a reason, to retain them and stay with us, but at the same token, to give them the peace of mind that they're going to be taken care of. So it is difficult, and healthcare, just as a consumer, is just amazing how it goes up and up and up and up. And that's, we figured it's going to go up in one of three or four different ways anyway.
Yeah.
And we're just bracing ourselves for it.
Bill, what else? Okay.
Yeah, I want to concentrate on one sliver of it, taken away from the hundreds of billions are taken away from the seniors and Medicare.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Okay, what I'm focusing on, I called you many times, and I tried to figure out why they was doing that, why they would take that threat, that dangerous step.
Yeah.
And everything about it that I've said is in the bill that I was afraid of. But what I've been thinking about lately, for some reason, is I think Washington has played the numbers game. They found out how many seniors there are versus how many people in America are working. They know the working people are going to have to one more time fit the bill to pay for all these Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal that government is bankrupt through their stealing of the excess money for all these years.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that rather than having a rebellion from the younger people, and I'm saying from 20 to 45, what they used to tell them that wouldn't be there for them, saying I ain't paying it because it's going broke, it's not going to be there, they're trying to make them think this money they're taking from the seniors is going to go to them. What, to sell them the Ponzi scheme? Well, indeed, that's not going to happen because they're going to wind up with nothing at the end anyway.
Well, the whole thing on the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, Medi-10, you name it, they're all bankrupt. And the problem is that you want to, oh, let's fix this by taking more money out of it. And then these rules, I mean, I was reading some of the things from that healthcare bill. It's horrendous. I mean, you know, at age 65, we're going to start talking to you about how to pull the plug. Now you can call it anything you want, but it's still counseling. It's still counseling. And if you have like a stroke, they come in again. On ways of your health care. And the problem with the health care bill that I look at, it is not, you know, even with 1,100 pages in it, it leaves a lot of wiggle room there that somebody can come in and look at it and just cut your health care off. Anyway.
I kind of believe it's more of a coup against the American people.
Well, you know what? American people are not dumb. You know, we've got a lot of patients, but at some point they're going to stand up and just say, okay, enough of this crap. Okay, Bill, we got to run. We got to take a break. Thanks for your phone call, as usual. Thank you. Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Back, it's Carlin DeBott here, Free Fire Radio. This whole week, we're going to be talking about small businesses, the pros, the cons, the goods, the bads. What is Shasta County and Redding doing to encourage our small businesses? And we as a community, are you supporting your local businesses? Our guest today has been James Fossen, who owns Backyard Destinations. James, final thoughts.
Well, you know, the key is local, and we may not have much power to affect the legislation in our government or anything like that, but as consumers, we are in the driver's seat, and we can do what we want with our money. And it's so important that you go local. And I want to tell you how this local thing works. You know, at our store several months ago, we had a private event and had about 30 people as guests in our showroom. And it was a potluck event, and we had everything set up, ready to go, when we realized we had no salad. And my girlfriend Lisa suggested we drive to Raley's, buy, you know, get the fixings and make a salad. And I said, well, hang on a second. We can see Nello's from the corner of our window on the front door. And we called Jim Dad over at Nello's. Now, he's a customer of ours. He took the call, and within about 10 minutes, we had salad for 30. And when we went to go pay him, he refused payment. And
well, he's like that, though. I mean, but you're right, though.
Yeah. And you may think that salad cost a fortune. Well, it didn't. It didn't cost Jim anything. He has more love and more people referring and thinking about Nello's now, just by a simple gesture like that. And that's the key to the small business, I think, in this community.
Yeah, you know, and 60% of the money that you spend, or 60 to 70% of the money you spend at a small business here in the community stays here, as opposed to like 30% at a big box store, because the rest of it goes someplace else. James, thanks so much for being here.
Well, it was wonderful to be here.
Great. Okay, look, let's get, I believe I know who this is. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm just calling again to remind everybody that we're still trying to raise money for that military family that broke down.
Okay.
We did get some donations from my last call to the radio show, and we thank them for that, and we're still trying to make a dent in it.
Okay, so it's out at Northern Automotive.
Correct.
And it's a military family that broke down. He's in Afghanistan or Iraq?
Iraq.
And he's in Iraq, and his family had car trouble. Now, they've gone back home. They've got a ride back there, but they're still trying to get it fixed at Northern Automotive.
Correct.
Now, he's taking the gentleman out at Northern Automotive. We'll take a check out there, and it's for Melanie's car. Meredith's car. Okay, so anybody out there that wants to help, $5, $10, $15, anything that can help, please go on out there, just write a check to him, and he'll get that thing fixed.
Right, their number is 275-1475.
275-1475, Northern Automotive.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's what I love about this community, people coming together.
Yeah. You know what? You know, we had some other people on that wanted to talk small business questions. Well, we are going to be on all week long talking small business. We're going to have tomorrow, we're going to have a gentleman that's starting a business brand new here in town. We're going to have Mark Beecham, who's going to be here. Wednesday, we're going to have Chamber of Commerce people. Thursday, we have a couple surprise guests. And then, of course, on Friday, we're going to have a bank that specializes in small business loans. And they're going to talk about the financial climate. And is it impossible to start a business during this time frame or not? So it's a lot of things, because we believe that the only way the city's going to get well is to encourage businesses to prosper here, to come here. You know, just a little figure for you we have gotten is that Southern Oregon takes approximately 2 businesses a month out of California. 2 businesses a month go up to Southern Oregon. Think about that. How can we keep them here? How can the city make it easier? Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, and just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your you?